I am hungry and tired.
Yeah.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Death is only the beginning. I'm Dave, joined by my co-host, Till Death, where we start Afterlife on Up, Mr. Ryan.
Oh, that is the seventh level of hell right there.
Yeah, it is. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, death is only the beginning. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will possess a Movies on Up prize package delivered straight from the depths of hell of this podcast. This week, The Possession of Hannah Grace comes out probably.
Yeah.
Or The Possession of Emily Hartley, or The Exorcism of Anna Rose, whatever. Possession of Hannah Grace, that's this one. So we thought, hey, what's our favorite possession movies? Somehow we haven't done that yet. So
we're going to fix that today.
To honor The Possession of Hannah Grace, starring Megan Reed, I guess, directed by Diedrich Van Rugeon. It's our favorite possession movies. How was this list for you coming up with?
It was easy and hard. There are so many of these, and there are some really good ones that come to mind immediately. It's just trying to shape that into a list that I found difficult.
Yeah.
But I really do like all these movies.
I don't like most. I mean, there's one obvious one, maybe is on your list. It's not on mine. But, like, I tried to.
I think there's more than one obvious one.
And they're probably all on your list.
Yeah.
I tried to go less because I don't like a lot of the obvious ones. Not that I dislike them, but do I like them more than these bullshit movies that I'm about to list? Probably. But then what's that kind of episode is that?
Yeah.
So, Ryan, your number five favorite possession movie
is from 2010. It is Daniel Stamm's The Last Exorcism, starring Patrick Fabian, Ashley Bell, Iris Barr, and Lois Hertham. This was the hardest decision to make on my list. Like I said, four came to mind immediately, and then I was left with a ton of choices for number five. And I could probably do this list 20 times, and while my first four are pretty much set in stone, I might have 20 number fives. I went with this one because it comes, I think, at the possession a different way. Fabian's Cotton is a man who has absolutely no faith in God, or demons for that matter, and he travels the country with this camera crew performing hoax exorcisms. The movie really tries to lean into the skeptical side, playing almost like one of those episodes of The X-Files where you're like, all signs point to this being a monster. This is going to be one of the ones where Scully's right. Because you seem to find more and more evidence as the movie goes on that Nell is just psychotic and not actually possessed. But as often is the case with, in most cases, actresses portraying possessed individuals, there's a ton of physically demanding work that goes into those scenes. And I think Belle is right up there with a couple actresses that are going to be a bit higher on my list with what she was able to bring to those scenes. It makes them very memorable. The ending of this movie is very memorable as well. It's not as great as the other movies on my list, but I really do like it. I think it's sneaky.
See, this is one of those, I lump them all together, but the thing is, I don't think I've seen any of them. The Haunting of Maggie Rose or whatever, or the exorcism down in Georgia. Like, I don't think I've seen any of those. I see them and I think, oh, that's the same movie. I know Brett Dattar from Juliana Theory did music for one of them. I don't remember which one, but that's kind of cool. I like Juliana Theory.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've heard that name.
Yeah, not in this household. My number five, I didn't go with a straight, like, demonic possession, like, tied to the bed, doubt, art, devils leave here cut type movie.
That's exactly what an exorcism sounds like.
Yeah, I went from 2001. It's one of those, anytime you read about underrated horror movies, it's on every list of underrated horror movies to the point where it's like, I think it's rated fine because it's not great. But from director Brad Anderson, starring David Caruso and Josh Lucas, it's Session 9. An asbestos crew go to clean out an old mental hospital and slowly start to lose their minds. Like, it's not your demon possessed movie like some of the other ones that are going to come up, like The Last Exorcism, but something's possessing them. You don't know what it is exactly. It's a different take on a movie that maybe will come up later in your list. I don't want to mention it just in case, but just you're losing your mind and there's probably somebody there bending and breaking it. So Session 9. Like, it's a quality movie. It's competent, but I think it's rated just fine.
Number 4 is from 2007. It is directed by Oren Peli, starring Katie Featherston, Micah Sloat, and $15,000. It's Paranormal Activity. Admittedly, you gotta wait a while in Paranormal Activity before someone actually becomes possessed, but it never feels like the movie's marking time. It feels like it's building up to something. And you can say what you want about the sequels, inevitable sequels, but Paranormal Activity was terrifying. It scared us in ways that we didn't even know could be scary. Footprints in Flower, turns out, is terrifying. In a post-Blair Witch world, Peli managed to take another low-budget found footage movie and make another cultural phenomenon out of it. And as good as Blair Witch was, it feels in that movie like you were always waiting for something to happen until it finally does. It's like a roller coaster with one big hill, like, right at the end. Whereas for me, Paranormal Activity was peaks and valleys, a bunch of hills. You're treated to this increasingly terrifying happenings every night when you see Night 13 and we're looking at a night vision static shot of this room. We know some shit's going to happen. Don't know what it's going to be, but you get excited. You kind of start, your senses perk up a little bit. Your spider sense starts going. And I thought that was really, really neat. In the rest of my list, The Victims of Possession take center stage. Sometimes they're even in the title of the movie. But Paranormal Activity focuses on two folks just being straight up terrified right along with the rest of us.
My number 4 is another one that you don't really get to the possession right away. Kind of builds up to it. And I don't really think going into it, you know you're watching a movie that's going to end up bonkers in a possession while. It is from 2018, written and directed by Ari Aster. It is Hereditary. On the surface, going into it, this isn't a possession movie. Spoiler alert, it's a possession movie. By the end, based on online, the internet thing that I read sometimes, that's the part that people dislike the most of this movie. They like the buildup, but not the payoff. I thought it was fine. I don't know how else you end this movie.
You got to explain it somehow.
Yeah, so it's one of those where it's not necessarily about the destination. It's about the journey. So, like, it's not about the possession. It's about how we're getting to the possession. I had a hard time leaving this one off. It's not borderline. Like, it's a possession.
No, it is. Yeah, but like you said, it's one of those deals that it takes so long before you understand what's happening. The breadcrumbs are there. It's a little bit like my number 5. The destination is the same, essentially. But Hereditary is good. It really didn't come to my mind that it is a possession movie, but I'm not going to argue with you because, yeah, it certainly is.
And Toni Collette should possess an Oscar by the end of this year, or by the end of 2019.
I would not be mad at that one little bit. But number 3 is a movie that I don't think you've seen, but I know you are aware of, 2005's The Exorcism of Emily Rose, directed by Scott Derrickson, starring Laura Linney, Tom Wilkinson, and Emily Rose, Jennifer Carpenter. This was a hard movie to place for me. On the one hand, I don't actually think it's the third best movie on my list. On the other hand, Jennifer Carpenter. This is a courtroom drama and should not be scary at all. You can add in the fact that the movie is the only one on my list not to be rated R, and yet it still comes to mind immediately when one thinks of demonic possession movies, and for one simple reason.
It's in the title.
Jennifer Carpenter. She seems genuinely possessed by the spirit of a contortionist, and it's her physicality and the terror on her face that makes this a good movie. There's no gore. No language to lean on. Every bit of terror comes from Carpenter's frame. And that's why this movie gets bumped up the list for me. As I mentioned before, I like when movies come at a subject we see often, but from a different point of view. Like The Last Exorcism, we see a guy who's just going around faking it. Then he gets himself into a position where, he's got to actually really do an exorcism. Emily Rose succeeds in a similar way, but with a better performance from the female lead. Jennifer Carpenter was amazing in this movie, which I don't say about her work
anywhere
often.
Yeah,
anywhere else. See, I was being a little
honestly,
kind.
I didn't really know Laura Linney, Tom Wilkinson were in this. I didn't know it was Scott Derrickson. I didn't know Jennifer Carpenter was in it. Like I said, these movies all blend together. Like, I actually just looked up Brett Dittar. As you were talking about The Last Exorcism, I was going to say, I didn't have any interest in that movie, but Brett Dittar did the music. He didn't. He did The Devil Inside from a couple years later.
Which is not on my list.
No, good. Because it's probably bad. I don't know.
I don't know if I saw it.
I can't. Yeah, I haven't. I can't judge these movies. But then again, it's not like, oh, I'm on a high horse. These exorcism movies are below me. I will throw that theory out the water when I say that my number three is from 1999, directed by Rupert Wainwright, starring Patricia Arquette and Gabriel Byrne. It is Stigmata. I like this movie. Maybe it's that I was drunk a lot in the late 90s, early aughts, and I spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh where a lot of this was filmed, so I see stuff that I recognize, but I like the movie. It's decent. She's good. Gabriel Byrne's good. She's possessed by some nun that wants to get the word out there that, hey, Catholicism is bullshit, guys. I like the message of it. I think it's good. It's competent. It's a fun thriller. It's really, really dark and moody. Yeah, I haven't watched it in a long time. It's probably not great, but it's my number three.
It's good. I was not old enough to be drunk legally in the late 90s.
Was I.
But yeah, I mean, this was a solid one. Maybe I just kind of gravitate towards these movies, although I haven't seen the one with the band I like in the genre I like. That's just kind of a weird thing. But Stigmata was one I was like, yeah, let me check this out. I don't know. I've never been a very religious person, but I do find myself fascinated with people that are deathly afraid of demons and have their reaction to demons. Number two has got some demons in it. And it was really kind of hard for me to choose between the Evil Dead movies that I was going to put on here. I went with the first one, 1981's Evil Dead, directed by, of course, Sam Raimi, starring Bruce Campbell, Ellen Sandweiss, Hal Dietrich, Betsy Baker, and Sarah York. When we were doing possession movies, an Evil Dead movie has to be on my list. Like I said, deciding between this and the sequel/remake is basically splitting hairs. The Deadites, I think, are, I don't want to say they're almost as famous as Ash, because he's pretty up there. People that have never maybe seen these movies couldn't tell you where the character's from, but that's the guy with the chainsaw on his hand, the smart-ass guy with a great chin. But I think the Deadites are very literal examples of demonic possession, but what Raimi does different in this movie is he gives a presence to the demonic spirit that is possessing Ash's friends. We see people and trees possessed, but we also get a sense that the spirit is on the move. Raimi gives the camera a role in the movie, and that allows the audience a first-person view, a demon's eye view, if you will. Without ever appearing in front of the camera, we know where the spirit is, and we can track its movements. And I think that's a really slick and subtle move that takes Evil Dead and Raimi from being a movie where we just dump tons of Karo syrup on the leads to a career-launching movie for a dude that would go on to make some of the highest-grossing movies ever. And so many times in these movies, it's just, oh, yep, now they're possessed. But he actually is able to show it happening. I don't recall seeing it before, and we really haven't seen it done since then. And I think it was so creative, and it works. You realize exactly what he's doing. It shows you that this guy is a fantastic director. Whatever he does is going to be amazing because he was able to do that. There's been great demons before and after the Deadites, but he really gave the spirit a personality.
Yeah, this one I figured would be on your list. And also, when I had it on my list, I just had Evil Deads because I couldn't pick between Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, or the remake.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to pick, so I just left it off.
Fair enough.
You would. It's a good one.
It is.
My number two, trying to dispel the theory that I'm a film snob, instead of maybe a movie about somebody that is possessed, maybe a movie about somebody whose job is to exorcise demons and send them back to hell, from 2005, starring Keanu Reeves, directed by Francis Lawrence, it is Constantine. Keanu Reeves plays Hellblazer, the John Constantine, the British guy based on Sting from the comics. I still really like this movie. Is it a great take on the Constantine character? Probably not traditionally, but does Keanu Reeves do good with what he's given? Yeah. Is Rachel Weisz really, really good in this movie? Hell yeah. Do I imagine there's another universe somewhere where Gavin Rosdale is a giant movie star? Yeah, I think he's good in this. I really like this movie.
It was LaBeouf too, wasn't it?
LaBeouf's really good in it.
Yeah, he is.
Like, LaBeouf is really good in this. This and iRobot. I really like LaBeouf in both of those movies, and the roles are similar. This is before LaBeoufed himself, but like, it's a fun movie, and it's on all the time on the movie channels, and I'll watch it. I'll put it on sometimes just to watch it because it's fun. It's entertaining. I like this movie. And, you know, there's possessions in it at times.
At times. It'd be a really, I guess, slow movie for Constantine if there were no demons. He'd have to get good at guitar or tantric sex or something. My number one is exactly the movie that you think it is. It is The Exorcist from 1973, directed by William Friedkin, starring Ellen Burstyn, Max von Sydow, Jason Miller, and Linda Blair. This one had to be on the list. When the topic comes up, it's the first movie that comes to mind, and for pretty good reason. Linda Blair is fantastic and is the measuring stick for everyone else trying to portray a victim of possession. You know, as good as Jennifer Carpenter was, and she was fantastic, Linda Blair is the OG. Jason Miller and Ellen Burstyn were both nominated for, I believe, both supporting, as Exorcist became the first horror movie to pick up a Best Picture nom. And the fact that the movie's still relevant 45 years after its release says more than I could say about how good it is. Watching it nowadays, I think it holds up, but it's a completely different kind of scary. I think if you really want to know how terrifying this movie was, you'd probably have to ask someone that saw it in theaters. They were giving away vomit bags in 1973 because people just hadn't seen shit like this before. Much in the same way that I think Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch killed audiences in the late 90s and the mid-2000s, The Exorcist had audiences that were used to Universal Monster movies and Vincent Price movies. These people would have been completely unprepared for what they were about to see. A while back, we did our favorite movie-going experiences, and I think Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch both, I mean, they were both on our
list.
Blair
Witch was one of mine.
Yeah, Blair Witch was one of yours. Paranormal Activity was one of mine. And if we ever did a list of movies we wish we could have seen in theaters, I think this would be my number one as well. Obviously, I was born 11 years after The Exorcist came out, so I never really had a shot. And it's just not the same now. I don't want to see it with audiences now that are used to gore and we're a little jaded. There's nothing that can shock us. I would like to sit next to some good Catholics in 1973 and just watch them piss themselves.
I did see this in theaters, not the first time, but probably around the 30th anniversary or something. In the early aughts, it was re-released in theater, and that's when they added a little bit. That was my first time.
Yeah, there's so many versions of this movie.
Yeah, that was my first time seeing it all the way through. Huh. And like, it's a good movie, yes. But if you see it for the first time now, you don't appreciate how scary it is because it's not. Compared to what we have now, it's not scary. But time capsule it, frightening. So
context.
It's one
context
of those.
Context is huge,
yeah,
for this movie.
It's one of those that I think holds up well as far as, is it a good movie? Absolutely. Is it the scariest movie ever made? No. Not now.
It depends on who you ask. If you ask somebody that went on a date in 1973 and saw this movie, yeah. There probably isn't anything that has affected them similarly since then.
Yeah, I think it would have been about 30th anniversary.
You know, for a kid like me that grew up watching The Thing, did anybody's chest open up and eat another man's hands in The Exorcist? Spoiler alert, no. So, yeah, there were some things in the movie. There were some things that are said that, you know, if you're very religious, that would bother you.
Me, Jesus.
But I didn't find myself viscerally affected the same way. But I can appreciate that it is really good filmmaking. The shots in that movie,
it's good,
are beautiful.
Yeah,
Question mark.
It's a good movie, and the acting, the performances are great.
They're really good too.
My number one, I've put it on a list before. It was not our favorite possession movies, but our favorite Denzel Washington movies from 1998, directed by Gregory Hobbit. It is Fallen. It's this spirit that bounces from person to person, killing people. And Denzel hunting it down. I really like this movie. In hindsight, we could have put The Thing, technically. Not really.
No, they copy him.
Yeah.
It's not a possession.
Oh, yeah,
it's a copy.
I guess that's true. Yeah. But Fallen, it's a straight-up possession.
Yes.
So,
Jason goes to hell.
I made it sound like I tried to avoid the tape to the bed movies and avoid that kind of exorcism movies. It's not that I was trying to avoid them. I haven't seen a lot of them. I haven't watched most of them, but I really liked Fallen. I thought it was great. It is similar to The Thing in that, like, you don't know who's who, and
right.
The ending is very, very the same.
Similar to The Thing.
I love the ending of this movie.
Except it's less ambiguous.
It's less ambiguous, yeah. Yeah, it's straight there.
It's him.
Yeah. I really like it. I like this movie a lot. And it's a possession movie. I mean,
absolutely. This was one I left off the list because we've never talked about Evil Dead before, but Fallen was very high on the Denzel list, and I had a feeling it might be on yours, but I do like this movie an awful lot.
It's really good.
It is.
Like, it's really good. Like, it's 20 years old now, and it's really good. Like, it's Denzel being Denzel, and it's Goodman, and it's just a really good movie.
I had trouble. There was a version of my list that had The Shining on there, but I was like,
that's what I alluded to earlier.
Yeah,
when I talked about Session 9.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put it on there because I didn't want to spoil it if it was on your list.
Yeah, I have trouble because I don't fully believe it's a possession movie.
And that's the same with Session 9, is it's left open, but something is making them go crazy.
Yeah, maybe it's Cabin Fever. It's hard to say.
But I mean, you can't argue against it. Like, it's one of those that you can argue for or against, but like, if you put it on there, I'm not going to argue it.
The only other one I was thinking, and it's not, there is a possession in the movie, but you don't think about it because it doesn't happen till the end when Dana Barrett starts to float above the bed, but Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I had Evil Dead's Night of the Demons, the one from the 80s.
Yeah, not the one with the Furlong.
Yeah, not the Furlong one. The one from the 80s because that was just goofy and fun.
Yeah.
Christine?
Yeah, the car is possessed.
The book, the car is possessed, but in the movie, it's almost like he's possessed as well. So, but I like these better than that. And this is one of those that, like, when you're thinking of it like that, I know there's a million more that I missed.
Yeah, there's...
Because I was thinking, like, body takeover movies, like when they take over, like, people take over the bodies and they live kind of registered, but then it's like, no, they weren't taking
it's
over. They were
brainwashed.
Yeah. Kind of. So you could go all sorts of ways with it. And
there is a lot of these. I mean, there's a lot of the straight up demonic possession movies. There's a lot of, you know, things, I guess, more akin to like The Shining, stuff like that. I mean, you could go a lot of different ways with this list, but. It was a fun list to put together because I don't know that we've really talked about a lot of these movies. I mean, yeah, we've talked about Evil Dead,
like,
and The
Fallen
Exorcist.
And,
a good half the movies I don't think we've ever talked about before. We may never talk
and
about
I've
again.
I've never mentioned Juliana Theory on the show before.
That's true. Yeah. That is a name I haven't heard for 10 to 15 years.
Next week, we are coming back with Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski. That Kieran and Shipka movie about silent monsters comes out.
The Silence.
Yeah. So we're doing the other movie from 2018 about silent monsters. So that is The Quiet Place next week. And then we follow into a couple fun episodes to do. And then The Uppies. It's crazy to think that we're at the end of 2018 already. That is nutso to me. But until next week.
Keep it up.